2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and DeGenevieve.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, here we are, all ready to Thursday. It's a big day for Dave and DeGenevieve.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into it. It is 9:05 and presented by Carol Royce. It is time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
Here are the three things that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
I already said it. It is Thursday, and thanks to our friends at Zions Bank, we give away $1,000 at 11:20 today. When you'll hear all about how one of our colleagues made $6,000 in 6 months to pay down debt, it is the best side hustle, Dave, that I've ever heard about.
It's better than my plasma. I literally let them stick a needle into my arm, and I just pump away while I watch Netflix. What's better than getting paid to watch Netflix? I'm excited for this, though. Anytime you're offering me money as a side hustle, I am so interested.
Countdown two.
That's a big story we're tracking for you all month long. Yep, it is back to school time. More Utah families, though, are pulling the plug on public education in favor of homeschooling. Questions I have are, homeschooled kids actually better off? And if I want to homeschool, do I have to buy the textbooks and the overhead projector out of the family grocery budget?
No, you don't need the overhead projector. You've got a 70-inch big screen. You don't need the terrible technology. You've got a 70-inch big screen.
Launch countdown one.
The murder of Lauren McCluskey and a $56 million lawsuit later, the University of Utah implementing safety changes on campus. We've got the full list of improvements in a live interview. And as a mom, I want to understand the U's thought process about limiting dorm room sleepovers of outside guests to only 10 nights a semester. How in the world is that going to make things safer for our students?
Yeah, dorm room sleepovers, as a parent, I want that to be zero. Zero dorm room sleepovers is the right number. But I think there are some very interesting things the U is doing to help protect our kids.
Dave and Genovic.
The launch.
Commence.
Sell your home fast for top dollar. Call Carol Royce, 803-6211.
Well, it's a big announcement of the day. The University of Utah putting some money where its mouth is to improve campus safety. The U set aside nearly $1 million for security upgrades, Dave, and making six big changes to make students safer.
Yeah, this is some good stuff. Smart stuff. I'm proud that they're continuing to make these changes because a lot of times after tragedies happen, they come out bold words of change and safety, but very little follow through. The U is following through. They should be commended.
They're following through fast enough. I think that some of these things should have been done years ago. All right, let me give the U a little bit of a break and let's start going over the list. Here's one, though, that I thought that should have been done years ago. Clustering night classes. Them all together in buildings that are clustered together. I remember when I went to ASU, this was a problem. I'd have to walk from one night class about a mile across campus to another night class. Why wasn't that done a long time ago?
Oh, it's a great question. It's a fantastic question because not only is it making a lot of sense safety-wise, but just energy-wise and staffing-wise, janitorial. There's so many reasons to cluster night classes. Safety, top of the list.
I should not be getting my steps in.
No, you
should not.
At night
class when it comes, yeah, safety first. There's also a new transportation service and some more parking spaces. Well, okay. Don't campuses everywhere have problems with parking?
Huge.
There certainly should be parking at least closer to where some of these classes are being held, especially, I will say this, Dave, remember I did my mom patrol up at the U to see how campus safety looked from my mom eyes, and I wasn't impressed as I sat around the Marriott Library at night and realized There were no security officers driving by, and there was no real good parking availability up there. They are improving parking around the Marriott Library. I think that's critical.
Parking is a nightmare on so many levels, because I remember when I went to Utah Valley University, there were 20,000 students there. That is massive. My sister went there 4 years earlier, and it was 10,000. Right now, it's the largest university in the state, over 35,000 students. How do you create parking for 35,000 students? You can't. So there's going to be parking that is not close. I love this idea of the safe ride, the Uber for the U, because you're never going to fix the parking problem on campus, because enrollments keep growing, they keep increasing, and the land is the land. The space is the space. So it's incredibly difficult. I love the idea of Uber on the U.
Here's one that raises big questions in my mind. You have students are now being required to register guests staying overnight at the dorm. And there's some specific guidelines that go along with that. For example, you have to register your guests by 9 o'clock at night. There has to be, you know, a name, a date of birth, and a close-up picture of the individual staying. And they're limiting the number of consecutive nights that a guest can stay to 3 and a total of 10 per semester. Big question that I want to ask the University of Utah in the next segment when we have them on the line live is, how in the world does that make my daughter safer if she decides to live in a dorm at the U?
I'm not sure. That's a great question. I'm not sure how that...
Give me your dad insight on that, because as a mom, I'm... What?
My dad insight is no sleepovers ever.
Thank you.
That's my feeling. No sleepovers ever. The problem with this, the workaround, the sneak around. Kids are not going to register their one-night stand. They will not do it. They will find a million ways to get around it. So if you think this is actually applicable, you're crazy.
Well, what are they going to be doing to check and make sure that person that they have the close-up picture of and the name and the date of birth isn't on some other database somewhere, like a sex offender database? Are they going to actually be running that person's name?
You can't.
Through
legally,
a database?
You can't.
Could you imagine the workload? Well, just close down the dorms to any outside guests and have them go get a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah,
if they want to stay on campus, can't they go stay at a nearby hotel?
Well, and if you start cracking down on it, then what's the workaround? Well, they just won't take them back to the dorms. They'll go off campus. Does that make them safer? That's a very difficult one. I'm not sure how that is applied, enforced, or effective.
And they're also, of course, replacing the outgoing chief of police. And they're, in addition, hiring a chief security officer who the new chief of police will report to. Will that make a big difference?
I think anytime you have a chance to hire somebody with a very strict and focused charge, this new police chief knows when he or she is coming in that campus safety is the number one target. So it's going to be very specific to campuses because they have unique problems, very much relating to dating, stalking, cyber stalking. These are the things that are very consistent because the age group up there is very consistent. So, yeah, I think the new police chief's going to come in with some very, very focused talking points, with some very, narrow charges to say, listen, we're going to make sure that our students are safe. And if they report something, then we're going to listen to it, because that's not what was being done.
Oh, we're just getting started. The list is even longer, and we've got a live interview lined up next with the University of Utah. We're going to take a deeper dive into that new U policy to have guests check in before they stay in the dorm and limit the number of nights they can sleep over in a semester to 10. Let's get the co-chair of the Campus Safety Task Force live with us next. I want to know, why allow guests to sleep over in the dorms at all?
It's 9:14. Stick around. We're back in 3 minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic. Next up.
It's go time, people. Are you ready?
News at 12.
News at 12.
Then Lloyd Matheson at 12:30.
Taking people apart, looking for the fight, beating up the other side. It's a zero-sum game on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Well, the U of U making big changes when it comes to campus safety. Just announced, it's all intended to be upgrades to security across campus. They've got things like night classes that they're going to cluster together and closer parking for starters.
But there's no question there is massive turmoil. And there's been huge turmoil at the University of Utah regarding safety. And it all stemmed from the Lauren McCluskey murder.
Yeah.
The police chief is out. Whether he was forced out or retired on his own, it's up for debate. The detective assigned Lauren's case left the department. The University of Utah police spokesperson just left. I wonder, does this really make our campus safer? Because right now, we have an acting police chief, but we don't have the police chief.
One of the new rules that they're implementing that makes me question whether the campus, particularly the dorms, will be any safer, is this rule. And as a mom, it concerns me that they list this as one of the safety improvements. Reporting guests who are staying in the dorms, they have to now register by 9 o'clock at night when they visit. They have to give a name, a date of birth. There's that close-up photo. I don't know if that's a selfie or if they take it on a computer. And they can only stay for 3 consecutive nights, no more than 10 nights per semester. I don't like it. I don't know how they're going to guarantee me that somebody who doesn't have a criminal background is staying in the dorm. Why do they need to stay there at all?
So you're saying that this is too lenient. You
yeah.
should just say
zero
nobody.
Tolerance.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't pay, you don't stay.
I like it.
You don't pay like for the dorms. You're not a paying student. You don't stay. Let's get live with Michelle Ballantyne, who's the co-chair of the Presidential Task Force of Campus Safety at the University of Utah. She's live now on the line with us. Welcome to the Dave and Dujanovic Show, Michelle.
Thanks very much.
So can you at all address my mom's fears about this dorm policy that's supposed to make the dorms safer?
Well, I think this policy is, you know, intended to increase the monitoring of overnight guests in our housing. And, you know, we certainly appreciate any feedback from parents or students that would like to see additional changes. We really would like to listen and be responsive to the needs of our campus community.
One of the things I would imagine is very difficult is you're trying to balance this campus experience with safety. So dropping the hammer and not letting kids bring friends into the dorms or sleepovers, I can imagine would perhaps force kids off campus. Is that what you're trying to do, is find this balancing act between the college experience, the campus experience, and safety?
You know, I do think that's right. And we also have Anne Marie Barnes here, who is our ASUU student president this year. And I think she'd be a great person to address that question.
Yeah, hi, I'm Anne Marie. I'd love to address that question. From the folks that I know who are living on campus this year, they've expressed that they felt like this encompasses a lot of safety concerns while still allowing them to have the college experience and have the social experience on campus.
Well, what about just having 0 nights per semester allowed? Was that ever discussed, or is that an option going forward?
I don't know the extent to which that was discussed. However, I think that would actually discourage students from disclosing who is coming on campus if they have a no overnight policy. A lot of people have siblings, cousins, friends, and family visiting from across the country. And I think it would, quite frankly, make our campus less safe to have that stringent of a rule.
Let's move on to the issue of clustering night classes. I'm a firm believer that this should have been done many years ago on campuses all across America because we have empty buildings and long, you know, dark hallways and areas to walk through. How quickly will that take effect?
So we're looking at implementing that starting this fall semester, and we recognize that it will be a process to gather all of the classes together. But we are working on it right now, so that's something that you'll see immediately.
Parking has always been a nightmare on college campuses, not just at the University of Utah, but every campus I've ever been on. Explain to us a little bit about this safe ride. It's been described as the Uber of the U. How does that work?
So the safe ride will work so that the students will be able to contact this ride service, and it will be able to pick them up at various places on campus, again, sort of like an Uber. And the idea is just to provide more immediate rides, where before you might have to wait for the campus shuttle. This will be more immediate so that students, you know, will be encouraged to get safe rides where they want to in a way that's really accessible for them.
How large would this program have to be? Because I can tell you, if I'm a student, I don't want to walk anywhere. I would use the safe ride. I'd probably abuse it because I don't want to walk that mile across campus to get to my next class. What are the parameters of who can use it and when they can use it?
You know, I think that's something that we would have to get back to you on in terms of the exact scope of that. So I'd be happy to do a little bit of research and get back to you on exactly how many we'll be having and what that will look like. I know that this really is a comprehensive approach at transportation, and what we want is to have this, you know, the sort of Uber of the U complement our existing shuttles and other transportation options that we do have on campus. And I think your point is a good one. Of course, we need to do it in a way that maximizes use and availability to our campus community.
Michelle Ballantyne is the co-chair of the Presidential Task Force on Campus Safety at the University of Utah. The reason we have her on the line today is because the U has announced they're implementing safety changes some 10 months now after the murder of Lauren McCluskey on campus. Of course, many of us are fully aware that Lauren was stalked and killed by a sex offender who was also parolee. In fact, he was waiting for her inside the dorm that she lived in the night of her murder. It was such a horrible, horrible tragedy. It's affected so many of us. And one of the things that I did, Michelle, after Lauren's murder was I myself drove up to the University of Utah and sat in the parking lot of the Marriott Library. And I was very unimpressed by the fact that I never saw a police car, an actual patrol car, pull through that parking lot in the hours that I sat up there at night. Yet I drove over to your police department and you had, if not a dozen or more, cop cars just parked there at the police department, you know, several blocks away and kind of hidden in the back parking lot there from the Marriott Library. Why not, at the very least, move some of those police cars over to the Marriott Library and hopefully even put a patrol officer inside them?
Well, you know, that's a great suggestion, and I think it actually overlaps well with one of the recommendations, which in connection with our sort of neighborhood centralization of night classes, we will have security that will be in those particular neighborhoods, one of which is the Marriott Library. So I think that hopefully would help address that concern.
Michelle Ballantyne, co-chair of the Presidential Task Force on Campus Safety. Thank you so much for joining us. New changes, Debbie, at the U, some that I think are certainly overdue, but I like that they're doing it. A lot of times we hear it from politicians or we hear it from administrators that there's going to be big change. We're going to make some things happen. And then a year later, nothing has changed. Now that we're seeing changes, we've seen personnel changes, we've seen policy changes. I'm excited. I'm excited that they're doing something and that they're following through. I think they're to be commended.
I may disagree with you on that, but I'm going to save it because we're going to come back to this issue in just a bit. Homeschooling on the rise in Utah, and it certainly has Dave thinking this morning. Could his kids learn better in his own home? We're going to break that all down coming up next.
My kids are excited. Like homeschool? Party! It's not a party, kids. It's homeschool. 929, stick around. News, traffic, and weather is next.
Dave and Dujanovic.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.